But now we're going to look at the children's books you love and the children's books that really stay with you, maybe because you enjoyed it or maybe because it just had an impact on you. I distinctly remember the book called Are You My Mother by P.D. Eastman. I think I enjoyed it, but I think it actually worried me as well. And it's about a little bird that falls out of a nest and it walks around to all sorts of creatures in search of its mother and even steam shovels and planes. And it's always asking, are you my mother? Are you my mother? This poor, fragile bird out in the world. I think I actually kept reading it because I wanted to be reassured that it did, in fact, eventually find its mother. Sorry, spoiler alert. But it made me appreciate what it would be like to lose your mother, even if it's just temporarily. It was not a feeling that I had. I was lucky. Living in Kalgoorlie in the 70s, my mother really stood out. So there was no risk that I was going to lose her in a crowd. But it got me thinking about children's books. And what is it about children's books that helped you understand something that was actually rather complicated? So this is now a regular segment here on Afternoons talking about children's books. And this week we explore children's experiences with finding new homelands in literature. And to take us through that, we're joined by Dr. Belle Alderman, AM and Director of the National Centre for Children's Literature. Belle, welcome to Afternoons.
Thank you. Very pleased to be here.
We're very pleased to have you here talking about children's literature. And you've chosen quite a challenging topic for us today. Why is that?
I have chosen a topic that is very difficult to bring up with children. If you have a child who's seen a television program or heard a mention of a refugee, they might say, what is a refugee? So, you know, that's a very complex topic. One of the best ways to talk about something that you're not sure how much to say is to find a good children's book. Mm-hmm. So I've chosen books today that I think are a gentle way, but also provocative, but also calming to introduce that topic.
Okay, so where do we start?
Well, let's start with Mem Fox, because you can't really go past Mem Fox. She has this wonderful way of rhythmically producing a book so that you feel quite comfortable with her story. And this one's called I'm Australian Too. And it goes through a lot of different cultures who've come to Australia, something special about them, and how they felt when they left their homeland. And I think that she manages to make everyone feel comfortable. For example, this one says, my family came from Ireland back in 1849. 1 million hungry people died, but now I'm feeling fine. How about you? And then the next page goes on to another cultural group. So in the end, she's trying to say people have left their homeland. They might be a little bit sad, but they found something that they're very happy in the new homeland. So this is a very simple picture book for really the quite young children.
And like you say, it's just got that beautiful Mem Fox repetition and rhythm about it and constantly asking, how about you, making every reader feel like they're part of the story when it's saying, I'm Australian too.
I know it allows you to ask the question and answer the question. So I think that was quite, Mem Fox has that special way of engaging you. When you're hearing a story from her, you're actually part of the story. And that's a very special attitude to get across to children, that it's a sharing experience.
And there's probably not a lot of books that you can put your finger on for that age group, because it's a very young. What age group do you think
could do this with 3 or 4 year olds.
Yes.
Because every child brings to an experience what they have. So you only go as far as that child is there at that particular point in time. And I think Mem knows that. She's done that really well. So my feeling is that this is for the youngest.
Okay. And so are we stepping through these in age groups, are we?
Sort of, yes.
Yeah, okay.
I sort of thought the next one is called 10 Pound Palm. Now, this is a true story for both the author and the illustrator. Carol Wilkinson is the author and Liz Anelli is the illustrator. Both of them came from the UK. So they left their own culture and they came to another one. And this is the experience that has been written about by the author. She came to Australia and it only cost them £10. Mm. This was a way to bring migrants into Australia when the population was small. So this particular book is all about what life was like on the ship, what they ate, how they felt seasick, all that kind of experience. And the interesting thing is it actually has several different children's experiences. So it's not just one. There's several different ones that are telling their own stories.
So when they're retelling these experiences, Belle, are they positive, negative, bit of a mix?
I mean, I think what they are, they're all positive and hopeful, but they're also, for example, one is missing her teddy bear. Mm. She had to leave the teddy bear behind. And that's part of finding a new home, isn't it? Leaving some things behind, but discovering some new things. This particular one has very authentic illustrations. So it allows a child to see how children dressed at that particular point in time and what they ate and the games that they played. So it makes you immediately feel, I think, from both the adult and the child, a sense of connection. And that's why I think this book is really quite special.
And I guess something that for children who are in a similar position where they may have had grandparents or relatives who are 10-pound poms, I guess it starts conversation, doesn't it, when they realise that what they've seen in the book is relevant to a relative.
Exactly. One of the most important things about children's books is the sharing aspect. Even if they grow too old and they can read books themselves, the idea of reading together is still that sharing experience, overlaying with some new ideas and some new concepts. So that is quite special, I think.
Yes, and beautiful illustrations in it as well. Like you say, quite detailed.
And there's even in the back a glossary of terms, like what is a bungalow and what is a coolabah tree and what is a corroboree, what a displacement. So it really is useful for children overseas as well as in Australia.
Yes, I can just imagine having this conversation with my kids saying, you know, you struggle with a 3.5-hour flight with no screen. We're talking about kids that were on a boat for so long and they had to entertain themselves and going to a place that was quite uncertain.
Yes. I think that's right. It gives a sense of home, a sense of transition too, at that moment when they're on the boat for quite a long time.
And may I ask, what kind of age group do you think we're looking at for this?
Because this one is quite factual and it actually has quite a lot of details. There's more text than in, say, Mem Fox's book. And there is this glossary in the back that adds additional vocabulary and information. I would say children mid-primary.
Mid-primary.
I mean, you know, a teacher could share that in the classroom, could share one page or two pages.
Okay. Yeah. And so what's next on our list once
we've
done
mid-primary? Next on the list is one called Waves for Those Who Come Across the Sea. Now, this is quite unusual. Again, it is for upper primary school or for children like, you know, sharing with parents from 7 years up. This one has various families leaving their homelands around the world, traveling by boat to come to Australia. Now, the book spans 50,000 years, and you think automatically, whoa, how am I going to present that to children?
That's some context, isn't it?
But the fact is, there's 15 different stories. Mm. Now, each one is a double page spread. So, for example, you can see that the text is minimal in terms of it's not too much.
Yep.
And in each case, the author, who's Donna Rawlings, has managed to condense how that child is feeling, you know, what reaction they're having to the weather or the food that they're eating. And in many cases, the journey is difficult. And they also say why they're leaving. Maybe they've left because they're a refugee, their country has been destroyed, or there's been a famine, there's a good reason why. So there's lots of different stories. And for that particular reason, I think this book has many, many uses. It also has an interesting end paper that shows the different boats. Now,
that each of the characters came on.
Yeah. So the different boats that they came on, the different years, and their names are reflective of the country that they came from. Mm. I think this is an amazing book.
Yes.
That, you know, it only was published last year. this is never going to be out of print. This is never going to be out of date because it tells stories of particular points in time. I love it.
From the children's perspective.
From the children's perspective.
It just, you're on Afternoons with Paula Kruger, and with you is Dr. Belle Alderman. She's the director of the National Centre for Australian Children's Literature. As you were describing that book to me, it just reminded me of being in high school, in the 80s. And it was during the era when we had so many Vietnamese refugees through our school system. Yeah. And I remember being in an English class, and one of the kids that was in our school, he was still learning English. Mm. And he was trying to write about his experiences, and he was trying to say this word, and the teacher was going, "You mean wave?" And he says, "Boat goes up, boat goes down, boat goes up." And the teacher, "Oh, you mean wave? Is that what you mean?" And then one of the surfy guys in the classroom came up, and he says, "I don't think that's what he means, miss." And he drew a picture, and he says, "Do you mean this?" And the kid went, "Yes." And he says, because he was a surfer, he went, "He means swell." He's talking about swell. Boat right. goes up, boat goes down.
What a good connection that
yes.
made, really. That's fabulous.
But it's like seeing the real stories in your own classroom, I guess, Belle.
Exactly. Well, think of Ahn Doe, who's yes. probably one of Australia's most famous refugees, who came to Australia on a boat, almost didn't make it, and look at the contribution that person has made. He's actually written about 6 children's books too. So we have that experience. He's written a book called The Littlest Refugee,
yes.
which is a picture book that is based on his autobiographical novel. So, that's a good way for parents and teachers to share too, saying, here's an excerpt from this autobiographical novel. Now let's look at this picture book and the way this works.
Yeah.
I think that's a terrific.
Yeah. So you've taken with waves, you said that's upper primary. Mm-hmm. And so what's next in our list?
Well, now this one is absolutely the most complex, but the simplest of all.
Okay.
Now, how can that be? Well, when you have somebody like Sean Tan, who is absolutely world-renowned, he's actually won an Oscar. Now that we're at the Oscars,
yes.
he's won an Oscar for his film of a book that he wrote called The Lost Thing. So he's really well known around the world. Now, this is a 96-page graphic novel with no words. And it really, again, it's about someone who comes from a different culture. And when he comes to, obviously, it's New York, most of us could tell. But they're strange creatures, and the buildings all look unusual. Wouldn't that be the way it would be if you come to another country? I mean, Sean Tan... He and his father came from another country. So he actually got that understanding of a different culture himself. And I think The Arrival is one of those books that is for every age.
Because it's visual or because of the message?
Because you can take anything you can get from it.
Yeah.
The youngest child can be mesmerized by these very strange objects and talk to the parent about, what is this small creature? Actually, Sean Tan says he gets many letters from children saying they love the characters and they love the creatures. So, and if, for example, you really wanted to know more about how he actually developed it, there's a book called Sketches from a Nameless Land that talks about the inspiration for this book. And I had no idea that he spent hours and hours of research, filling sketchbooks, changing his mind, starting over again. And when you look at that, you think, what a mind. this is, how does he do it?
Yes.
And I think that there will be lots of kids that would really pore over this, because there's a lot of just images too. But there's a little explanation too from Sean Tan explaining those.
Okay. So what kind of feeling do you think kids get when they look at this book?
Can I tell you this little personal story?
Go for it.
Okay. I have a grandson who's 22 years of age. And from the moment he was born, I gave him books for his birthday and Christmas. And one of the books I gave him was The Arrival. And he was about 10 when I gave it to him. And he emailed me back and said, "Grandpa, this is the best book you've ever given me." And I was perplexed, what was he getting out of this book? And then when it came time for his birthday, he said, "Do you think, Grandma, instead of a book, could I have an artwork from this book. And I said, an artwork? You know, immediately thinking, money, money, money.
Yeah.
And he said, I've looked on Sean Tan's website and he's got something called a Chicle print. And he says, I think it would be about the same amount of money that you pay for my books, you know, because I usually give him about 10 books.
Yes, yeah.
How silly of me, but that's what I do. So I sent him, I said, now, which one do you want? Which piece of art do you want? And I was surprised that he picked this book because it's all brown, sepia yes. tone. And he picked the one where the character arrives in the New York Harbor. And I thought, what must he be feeling and thinking? Mm. So obviously this book speaks to children in ways that they find it hard to explain to us. And I think we have a role as adults to sort of introduce children to thoughts that might be deep, that they can think beyond or think between them or ask questions.
Yes. And I guess for those kids as well who find ideas more tangible through a visual
images.
Literacy,
yes.
you know, as opposed to something yeah. else.
And if you think about it, there are many children who really want to be artists or they want to be writers. That book, which is called Sketches from a Nameless Land, enables them to see the creative process, both the words and the images. How special is that?
Mm, amazing.
Yeah.
You're on Afternoons with Paula Kruger, and we have a very special guest with you. Her name is Dr. Belle Alderman. She is director of the National Centre for Australian Children's Literature. I can tell you really like this book, Belle.
I do. Now, I have one more book.
Yes.
And I think this is a book that leaves you with lots of questions in your mind. And I think that that is totally appropriate for children because they like to ponder on things. Children are very deep thinkers. Mm-hmm. I mean, oftentimes they ask the most amazing questions and you think, where did that come from? What inspired them to think about this? This particular book starts out, and it's by Zanna Fralion, and it's illustrated by Graham Baker Smith. It's called A Story of Hope. Now, the first line says, Idris lived in a small, small world where fences grew from the dirt and where shadows ruled.
What a way to start a story.
I mean, that's a beautiful line.
Yeah.
And actually, what we discover is that he was born in a refugee camp.
Oh, okay.
So he doesn't know any other world. That's that small, small world. And that's that tone of a dark world. But here is this young boy who has this sense of hope, irregardless. And imaginatively, a wisp of light comes down and lands at his feet. And he picks it up and he's mesmerized by, what is this? You know, what is this? And he takes it over to this old man who looks like he's lost all his hope. And he looks at this beautiful wisp and it helps him remember his homeland and the happiness that he had there. So this wisp is a sense of hope that the young boy then visits other people and it restores their happy memories. And at the end, of course, the boy himself looks at the wisp, but he has no memories other than where he is now. But he's given memories by this wisp. See, this is a very deep book.
It is, yeah.
He's given memories by this wisp and he has a sense of hope. And that's how the book ends. So an amazing book, which you look at it and you think, well, this is an amazing book.
Wow, the illustrations are incredibly detailed.
Illustrations are hugely detailed and quite beautiful.
And magical.
And magical.
But this is a refugee camp.
Yeah. And so I really wanted to end on a book that is expansive. It allows thought-provoking questions between the adult and the child, because I think this is a book you want to share with a child. You could give it to them, but I think they would get a lot out of it if there was a discussion between you. So overall, in choosing these books, I've picked ones that are like The Arrival is a modern day classic. It's about 15 years old. It's translated. There are no words.
Yes.
But there's about 15 different countries that have bought the rights to sell that book in their country because it's universal.
Mm.
I mean, finding a home is a universal experience. We hope that refugees is universal to everyone, but we all need to really understand and provide opportunities to talk with children about these.
Yes, and a great, I guess a great place to start a conversation if the children are taking in a lot of information from media. And let's face it, it's going to be an issue in a federal election year. But I guess what you've given us here, Belle, is a base for where we can have that conversation through books.
That's exactly what I had in mind.
Well, I'm glad you did it, Belle. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're very welcome.
Dr. Belle Alderman. She's director of the National Centre for Australian Children's Literature. And we've got a lovely text that has come in from Alison. She says, when I was in late primary school, I just love the Laura Ingalls Wilder books, Little House in the Big Woods, Little House on the Prairie, etc., which were all about finding new homelands. And this text continues, I think I related so well to them as my family emigrated from England when I was six, and I felt that we were pioneers in our own way. I'm sure you were too, Alison. Thank you so much for sending us that text.